Check 1 2 1 2, bitch. Consistent podcast in the EA area. This is the logical sense. It's your boy Buzz B.
And over here, it's your boy JC. No.
This is trash.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Take Off, man. This sucks.
I legitimately opened up my app and I closed it.
Yeah.
This hurts. This one, I don't want to compare, obviously, to memorials and tributes that we've done before, because it's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, you're not trying to outdo the last one, certainly in this instance. It's just, this, it hurts because Take Off never bothered anybody.
He really didn't, dog. I saw this shit, like, the night before. It was like around 1:30, 2:30 West Coast time, and I was on Twitter, and I started seeing little reports come out about what it was. It was unconfirmed reports, but usually that's how it starts.
Right.
And then I saw it, and I was like, and I saw how it was trending, and I'm like, oh, shit. I'm going to take my black ass to sleep. And I was like, I don't want to see that. Like, and then when I woke up that next, like this morning before we recorded, I woke up, and I'm like, I don't want to even look at my phone because I know JC's going to send me the text. I look at the text, first thing I saw, and I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, that man. I only have words right now, because it's, I just didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about the footage that I, you know, hope to God never will ever see.
Yeah.
But I just, it's rough.
So random.
Yeah, no, it's.
Out of all the people in that in the Migos, he was the most like silent one, the most laid back one, the one that people liked. They felt that he had like the best verses on all the songs and shit like that. The one that kept the baton going when Offset was in jail, man. Him, I mean, they were currently him and Quavo were keeping the tradition going as a duo while Offset was still.
They just dropped 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, they just dropped their duo album while they're keeping the movement going when Offset's still dealing with his label issues and shit. You know, and like I said, personally, I wasn't really a fan like that, but I understood how the impact they had in the culture and how they literally him and Offset and Quavo. How they single-handedly kind of changed the culture when it came to rapping. People took their... They invented new flows on how to rap. They mimicked them.
Right.
You know? And he had... By far, he was the one that slid on the verses the most.
I came to a conclusion, and it was an observation that I saw with the outpour, obviously, of this tragic news.
Mm-hmm.
People loved and respected him in the same manner that they came out and showed love for Klay Thompson when he got hurt both times.
Mm.
It was kind of like he was Kind of like the Klay Thompson, where it was like not many people had anything bad to say about Takeoff.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
he was hard pressed, and he was loved by everybody.
He was the most reserved one. Like if you all saw all of his interviews, he was always the most quiet one. In all the interviews, he was always like the most reserved and the most quiet one. He didn't really talk to people unless he got to know you. Then he'll be opened up. But usually he always keeps.
But he provided some of the most funniest moments that you can think when you think of Migos. He was the one that did it. I mean, beyond going with a talented and I will say it, a skilled MC, because that's what he was.
Yeah.
It just hurts because it's Migos is a family group.
Yeah.
That's not just, you know, a collective of guys that came together in their teenage years, you know, went away, one went to college, one did something else, they came back together. They grew up with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They known each other. You know, both Quavo and Offset have known Takeoff since the day he was born. You know what I mean? So that's... My heart goes out to the family.
Yeah.
Quavo and Offset is... That's tough. Because on one hand, it's, you know... Offset going through what he was going through, you know, you just hope that when this occurred, they were on the best of terms. Quavo being there watching it, seeing it, that's trauma. That's a trauma that is unspeakable, unimaginable, and he needs prayer because that's...
Yeah, that's going to fuck with him for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and you don't wish that... Obviously, you don't wish any of this on anybody, but I mean, to have to endure that, like, that, like, Takeoff was his... I know they're closer in age, but that's his nephew.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, I just don't know what to say. This was one of my favorite groups.
Mm-hmm.
I made it very clear this was one of my favorite groups.
From the beginning. You were there from the beginning.
Right.
From the first Culture on, you were there.
It goes far beyond Culture. Back to the wire intake.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Especially when Offset was in jail and they were holding that baton.
Right.
So,
it's... I just...
It sucks.
Yeah, and it just... I ran the question back again. Why do I love this Culture so much if it keeps taking away the ones that I support?
Seriously.
And I know this... I know it's not a hip-hop issue.
Yeah.
But I can't help but ask the question because it's hip-hop. Like, you know what I mean? They leave within the Culture off of, you know... politics of it, if you will. Having to stay true to the streets and with that. And the thing of it is he was an innocent bystander in this. He wasn't even, according to the reports, allegedly, he wasn't even the main target.
Even the main target. Allegedly.
Literally just got caught in the crossfire.
Literally, the dudes just started spraying for no reason. It wasn't even aimed at him. It was just, allegedly, it was just, they were just firing off and he just got caught.
Yeah.
Damn shame, man.
28 years old. You know, it's... I wish I could have came in here and, you know, would have gave one of the greatest tributes or remembrances. Because, again, I am a Migos fan.
Really,
though. But right now, I'm still in shock. So, I don't have much other than, you know, I'm upset. I'm hurt. Beyond music, Takeoff was... Again, he was well-loved. Basically in every circle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you go outside of hip-hop, you see pictures of him with people from all walks of life.
He was the chill one. Everyone liked fucking with him. It was always the quiet folks people liked fucking with.
Right. And so, it's just... So rest in peace.
Rest in peace, man. Yeah. Thoughts and prayers to the whole family of Quavo, Offset, that whole family.
Yeah.
It's a damn shame. It's a damn fucking shame.
Yeah. Migos forever.
Yes, sir. On that note, how was your Halloween?
It was festive.
Dress up? Nope.
It was festive, though. You know, around the neighborhood, there's a lot. I'm by two schools.
Oh, okay.
An elementary and a middle school.
Wow, so.
And a lot of people that live in this community are people that were here when I was a baby. You know what I mean? So now they're... kids had kids and 3 straight hours just getting back up. I might as well put my damn Apple Watch on. I was getting workouts, getting up.
She was just standing by the door. Trick or treat here.
Yeah.
Fucking candy. Fuck out my face.
But it's always good, you know, yeah. seeing kids trick or treating, being in a good mood. And always, you know, I pass. I'm not one of those people where I'm like, take one piece. I'm like, you take 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. You know, stay safe. That was what I was telling them. It was like, happy Halloween. Costume look good. As they're walking away, have a good night. Stay safe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Shit, in my neighborhood, I haven't had trick-or-treaters on my block for years, dog. It's like, at one point when I was young, when there was kids there, It used to be popping. But then, like, the older everyone got, man, everyone moved out the neighborhood or got older and shit, kids don't go on my neighborhood at all. It's just silent.
What kind of shit is that?
Shit happens. That's why I don't get candy no more. Like, literally, like, my block is just, like, quiet. Because usually, there's a high school right where I'm at. So it was a high school and then like a middle school. So maybe if anything, it'd be like further down the street from my blocks. But other than that, man, it is what it is. I ain't dressed up. I was watching scary movies though. What did I watch? I watched the remake of Evil Dead that came out in 2013.
Yeah,
that was on Hulu. That shit aged well. That shit is. You should watch it. That shit's fucking nuts. You know, it is fucking nuts. Did you like the Evil Dead series? Did you ever watch it?
Truth be told, never heard of it.
You never heard of Evil Dead with Bruce Campbell?
Who the hell's Bruce Campbell?
You don't know who Bruce is? That sarcasm?
No, who's Bruce Campbell?
Holy shit.
I know Bruce.
Okay, you remember...
That's to be funny, but I don't know.
I know, okay, fuck. Fuck.
Is he a white man?
Yes,
he's a white... These white people don't mean nothing to me.
Okay, you remember from... You watched the first Spider-Man movie?
Yeah.
With Sam Raimi, the one that... The original one, Tobey Maguire.
Okay.
Remember when he was a wrestler and then he's the one that gave Spider-Man's name?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Bruce Campbell. Damn. Uncultured. That's a legend right there. But yeah.
Wait, uncultured in American culture? The one that stripped us of our heritage? I know culture. It's our culture.
For cinema.
It's like I know culture 1, 2, and 3. And rest in peace, Takeoff.
Rest in peace, Takeoff. Takeoff! Anyway, but yeah, that shit is fucking nuts. Okay. It's a remake, but honestly, both versions are just great. They both equal, in my opinion. But yeah, and what else did I watch? I watched Thriller. Have to watch, even though I've seen it a million fucking times. Exactly. Rest in peace, Vincent Price. But apparently, like, Michael owns Halloween. Like, when Thriller is playing... Because I went out to the bars and shit like that. They were playing Thriller. Everywhere I went, they played Thriller. But then, when it hits November 1st, Mariah Carey's like, y'all know what this is!
Right. And I've been waiting.
Baby. Yeah, yeah.
She gave you 1 minute after...
midnight.
After midnight, and then said, no, it's mine.
It's mine. He's like, it's time!
Yeah.
And literally, all I want for Christmas and re-entered the charts. It literally, it's like Thriller hits the charts, hits the top 10, and then literally after November 1st, they just switch places.
Can you imagine the DJ mix on that?
Thriller. Yeah, you could do it. I could hear it. You got to slow it down.
Yeah.
You got to literally slow it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like literally, Thriller is like the quintessential Halloween song.
That's a good question. That brings up a question.
What?
What musical artists own other parts of the year? So we know Michael Jackson owns Halloween.
Mariah Carey owns
the last 2 months of the year. What is there about, like, is there anything else that you can think of where it's, I was like, okay, somebody, this is a period of the moment. Don't touch anything. Leave it alone.
I think those are the only two. I don't think.
I got one for you.
What? Oh, Will Smith owns Summertime.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I got another one for you.
Who?
James Brown, as soon as it hits February 1st.
Oh, yep. I'm Black and I'm Proud.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he owns February. Will Smith owns the summer for Summertime, because that's like the quintessential summer record.
I can tell you this.
What?
I know it's prevalent in the black community. Every election season, you put on that damn Sam Cooke.
It's been a long, long time coming, but I know... Chains gonna come.
Every time we have three, like,
yes it is.
We all say,
what kind of shit is that?
Nope. Yeah, elections next week, actually.
Right.
Yeah, get your vote in, people. Don't boo.
Will Smith in Summertime, that was a good one. If you don't like it, he gonna slap you.
Yeah. Whoa. Wow.
Wow.
That's what it's about.
Wow. Wow.
Keep it. Hey, let's go down that rabbit hole now. Who was the character Ice-T played in New Jack City? What was the cop's name?
I forgot his name.
Exactly. Nobody remembers. This is Ice-T.
That's just Ice-T.
And he chased him in the dam into the playground and shot him in the ankle. Bow!
Wow!
Wow!
Then, I want to shoot you so bad, it makes my dick hard. Whoa. Pause. I remember when he said that shit.
And then the famous line at the end of that infamous movie in 2007. And that's when I said, I think I love my wife.
Wow!
Or in what was the one where he was the where he came back? He was the comedian. He came back from
Down to Earth.
Down to Earth. He waved at Regina King. Got slapped by that truck.
Oh yeah!
Wow!
Wow! Shit! Wowzers!
CB4.
I said you could put it at any moment in that damn movie.
CB4 when he was messing with Misty and she put that on him.
Oh wow! Wow. Nah, but honestly, when it goes back to the holidays, like, yeah, Michael owns the fall. Well, no, he owns October. Mariah Carey owns November and December. Will Smith owns, I guess, June and July. Mm-hmm. Summertime.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know about the spring. There's no really springtime records that's, like, definitive.
Right.
You know?
It's all based on mood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When you hear Summertime, you hear Thriller, you hear All I Want for Christmas. That's the Holy Trinity right there. Summertime, Thriller, All I Want for Christmas is You. Summer, yeah. That's a good mix right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think. There might be one more.
I can't really think of much.
What goes to... Oh, come on, man. Come on, bro.
What?
Try to think. Think. Because there's something very distinctive.
I got nothing.
Earth, Wind & Fire, September.
Oh, yeah, duh. just that first day, though.
That's September.
The 21st night of September.
Yeah.
Do you remember the 21st night of September? Only thing I remember is, you know, do you remember? Anyway.
It's a damn shame, because they put that shit out years before he did.
Yep. But other than that, man, yeah, that's pretty much, that was my Halloween. It was just pretty chill.
Yeah.
Went to a little get together. All I had was just a mask and my Jamaican dreads that I got from Jamaica years ago.
Give me a hell.
Never go wrong with those. Put on a mask, put on a Jamaican dreads, you're good.
Who are you? I be Jamaican, man.
I'll be Jamaican, man.
What part of Jamaica? Right near the beach.
Nah,
boy!
Now, if I really want to make people uncomfortable, this is what I do. I was just wearing my regular clothes. I just didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
White chick came up to me and was like, oh, so where are you supposed to be? And I looked at her. America's worst nightmare. She was like, oh, an unarmed black man.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to your chef?
That is quite, don't powerful ask no stupid niggardry shit. At work, yeah.
Don't ask me no stupid question. You know I'm not dressed up, and you're going to ask me that stupid-ass question. Yeah, I'm gonna make you uncomfortable for asking me this stupid shit.
Did she look good?
No.
Oh, I was about to say, if she looked good, you could have played your cards right.
Oh, I could have, but I didn't feel like... It was one of those, I just didn't feel like talking.
In the future, any woman that is a white, just a Caucasian descent, she asked that question,
mm-hmm.
If she looked good, you could say it could be one of two things. I could be America's worst nightmare. Or I could be your parents' worst nightmare.
Your parents' worst nightmare. Either way, you're going to have a dream come true with me. Shit. That's game. I didn't feel like spitting game. But, yeah, that was Halloween for the most part. It just comes and goes. And now we're in the holiday season. Well, it's that time again. It's the big feast in a few weeks.
It's a big feast town.
It's a big feast town. All the way up to football. Want to go to football now?
That's our power contribution for this week, because they done.
They're done for now, yeah, I guess.
That's our reference.
I think they're done for the year, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't see. They did not release the trailer for Book 2. Mm-mm. I'm mad. I don't want to watch it. Like, come on, 50. But anyway, when it goes to sports, mainly football, Niners, Nicka. Round of applause, we won. Christian McCaffrey. Oh my God. Just, oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yeah, man. No matter what happens in life, no matter how bad the Niners get, when Kyle Shanahan sees Sean McVay on the schedule,
he said, I'm going to kill that white boy.
Like, I got destroyed by Kansas City. Who's on the schedule next week? Him. Okay. I got him. I'm going to
treat Sean McVay like he Ime Udoka.
They are 8-0 in the regular season, man.
Came up in my, he really treated him like he, like Kyle Shanahan, like he visions himself as Mr. Biggs, and that man is R. Kelly.
Look at me! I did this to you!
Every time he go up in his play, he feel like he got to prove himself.
He got to prove himself. with Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback.
Yeah.
Y'all just won the Super Bowl. Like, dude, you only put up 14 points against us. Why? Because Christian McCaffrey had to show off. That's what happened. That motherfucker had a this was Christian McCaffrey's revenge game, by the way, because he just played with the Panthers, and the Panthers beat him, and he liked the way they tackled him and how they were talking shit.
No, not the Panthers beating him.
I mean, the Rams beat him when he was with the Panthers. And this was his revenge game. This motherfucker had a triple crown.
This nigga was Tupac.
This nigga running like he's white Pac in L.A.
No, it's Tupac.
That nigga.
Nigga said, I got my cash right. Now start running with some bloods.
Start running with some bloods, yep. This motherfucker had
a rushing touchdown.
A receiving touchdown.
And then he threw it to Brandon Ayuk.
In no particular order. That's what happened.
Yeah. I know, because it had fantasy implications.
Yeah, no.
It worked for me and it worked against me. In one instance, I had Brandon Ayuk in one league.
Uh-huh.
And in the other instance, I played against Christian McCaffrey.
Ain't that about a bitch.
And I put up the highest point total I put up all season, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It meant nothing. Shout out Greg. Greg had McCaffrey. He had DJ Moore.
God damn.
And he also had goddamn DeAndre Hopkins.
Ain't that better, bitch.
And Stephon Diggs was his flex.
Well,
but one guy I did have, AJ Brown.
Boy,
somebody did this.
That is a sick man.
That is a sick man.
I don't know who the hell pissed him off or pissed in his Cheerios.
Mm-mm.
But he came out and he took it out all on Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
First touchdown I saw was a nice toss over. Look, Jalen Hurts got to get paid. We talk about Lamar Jackson,
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts got to get that back.
Mm-hmm.
He threw that first one over, and it was like, oh, okay, yeah. A.J. Brown, he feeling it today.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know how much he was feeling that. Next one came in, got up in the end zone, and then just looked around. And then he did the, you're not big enough. You're too small.
Yeah.
Too smalled him. Then he came back, bro, and he did a third one in triple coverage.
Double
coverage. And they all fell, and he just got up and looked, and he pointed at them. And I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was just a day of trifectas.
Yeah, a lot of trifectas.
Deontay Foreman for the Panthers, McCaffrey's replacement.
Yeah.
He had three of them things.
Yeah.
Who else had three of them things?
McCaffrey, he did.
Alvin Kamara, I think, had three of them things.
Yeah, and unfortunately for you. We get to them soon.
No, we can talk about it now. We here.
Well.
We here.
Someone got to get fired. Someone got to go.
Somebody did this.
Raiders, bring your ass to the stand. Mainly Josh McDaniels.
I don't know, man.
Boy, he for the whole offseason.
Marcus Lattimore did not play that game, and they managed to get Devontae one catch for 3 yards.
I didn't watch all the game, but when you told me that was such a shocking-ass stat. They said they barely even got past the 50.
Yeah.
Oh.
They were the only team that day that didn't score.
24 to nothing. And then when I saw all the former Raiders, from Charles Woodson to who else? Who else said some shit? Who's the other greatest receiver on the Raiders?
Tim Brown.
Tim Brown, yeah. He's like, I don't know what's going on, but y'all got to fix this. It's like, and then fucking, I guess, Mark Davis had another lengthy
meeting
with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, you better than your daddy. Your daddy would have fired his ass already.
With a PowerPoint. That is still one of the most gangster stories in all the sports.
I remember when he did that shit.
He fired Lane Kiffin and then had my former boss, I can say this because it's out now.
Yeah.
Had him make him a PowerPoint and then had him go in there and present it.
About why he fired him. Al Davis would have fired Josh McDaniels already. After the Kansas City loss, he would have fired his ass for doing the two-point conversion. He would have fired him already.
I never had the pleasure of meeting Al Davis, but I promise you, I would have loved working for that man because the stories that they told me while I was in the facility. I won't tell any stories that were not public.
Yeah.
But the stories from the If You Know, You Know files, my God almighty, he deserves every statue around the globe that put up in Al Davis's name. He was the one thing I can make public that everybody has said. He said Al Davis ran that organization like it was the mob.
Yeah, that's well known.
He ran it like it was his family. If he loved you, he loved you. But the moment you betrayed him, you were an enemy for the rest of his natural life.
Forever.
And I could get down with that.
Yeah. Josh McDaniels would have been an enemy right now. Yeah! Like, I think he would have fired his ass after the Kansas City game. He would have fired him for that game. Because that's just unacceptable. Like, really? 24-0?
Yeah, it's bad.
Bro. It's bad.
Jaguars went over to London again.
And
then they lost.
Yeah, they lost to the Denver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's ride with fucking Russell Wilson doing working out on the aisle way while the team's asleep. I've heard a lot of stories from former Seahawks like players just talking out their mouth about Russell Wilson. They did not like that man.
I mean, you see how Geno Smith playing though?
Like everybody that used to play with Russell Wilson that played on the Seahawks, they all have nothing.
Anyone who hasn't said anything and just says I wish him well and I hope he's doing well is Beast Mode. And he's the one that got the most. He should have the most to say.
No, but you saw, remember when he was laughing when he left the sideline?
No, like, what I'm saying is he's the one that should be most pissed off about it, and he's the one that's like, I just want to make sure you're doing good.
Yeah, man. That's but all. Yeah.
Everybody else just,
they just be talking out their ass about Russell Wilson. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, they really do not like that man.
But that was inside the line. Oh, and then, you know, Cowboys may have a running back controversy.
Yeah, because
Zeke Elliott was out, and Tony Pollard went in and had himself.
So they had a quarterback controversy. They resolved. Now they got
this one though. They weren't going to resolve that quarterback controversy because there was no quarterback controversy.
Exactly. They paid
this on the other hand though. Tony Pollard was the other one that had 3 touchdowns.
Shit, Zeke was out.
Yeah. Micah Parsons had his very first defensive touchdown because Justin Fields didn't touch him.
Yeah.
He fumbled the ball. Mike Parsons got it.
Yeah,
I saw
that and leaped over him and ran it in. I feel so bad for Justin Fields, man. I feel for that boy,
You don't got to feel for him no more, though.
Oh, yeah, because there was a lot of fucking... It was draft deadline. It was a trade deadline.
They thought they was the NBA.
Yeah, man.
I ain't never seen no many trades like that. I was confused. I was like, wait, who tweeted this? Was this Woj or Chef?
Woj or Chef.
who tweeted this? Because, damn, the bombs everywhere.
Fucking what's it
called? Let's start with the Bears. They cleaned house,
really,
and then got house back,
really.
In some aspects, yeah. Robert Quinn gone, Raekwon Smith gone.
Damn.
Remember they sent Robert Quinn last week to the Eagles.
Yeah,
and then they Raekwon Smith. He's with. Let me get this right. Oh yeah, the Ravens. Right. As if they didn't need any more linebackers.
Yeah, I know, right.
Then they went and they acquired Chase Claiborne from Pittsburgh. So yeah, now they got a for sure number one wide receiver.
They got a wide receiver. So now he has help now.
Yeah.
Well, that's good for him.
So he
got help now.
Yeah, he's got some help there.
Yeah.
This one confused me not from the Vikings standpoint, but from the Lions. The Vikings acquire TJ Hockenson, the tight end.
Yeah.
I get that because Irv Smith is out for 8 to 10 weeks or something like that.
And the Lions got rid of him?
In the same division.
Why did it... It's fucking Lions. Why'd I ask?
See, just when you get your... when you want to make them a feel-good story because of what they did in Hard Knocks.
Yeah, and then they just do some stupid shit. That's stupid. Yeah. That's like getting rid of Kittle for no reason. Yeah, okay, let's trade him. What? Was he a headache to deal with? No. Just want to trade him for draft picks.
Right.
We're going to start rebuilding soon.
Right.
What?
I don't know, bro. I don't know.
Well, what's it called?
Then you have another one. Oh. So that covered the Bears and their activities as I know of. I must say, Jaguars.
Uh-huh.
Low risk, high rewards type of trade.
Really?
You know, Florida, they allow everything. You can bring a gun. You can bring a gun to the game. I know. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They looking at Calvin Ridley like, it's just a little gambling.
It's a little gambling.
That's all it is. Like that's what they suspended you for? That's a Tuesday night. Come on over.
And he was their top receiver in Atlanta, right?
Yes. He was their number one.
Trevor Lawrence is going to have help when he comes back next season.
That is the definition of low risk, high reward. Because if I got this correctly, there are terms to that deal.
Mm.
So, these are the conditions. That 2024 fourth rounder that they sent to the Falcons, it stays as a fourth rounder if Calvin Ridley is on the roster, but it goes to a third round if Ridley reaches certain incentives. So if Ridley, you know, outperforms and he does amazing things, then the value of that trade becomes higher, so then it becomes a third round pick for the Falcons. It can then become a second round overall or a second round pick if Ridley signs a contract extension.
Oh wow.
So
I like that
for the Falcons, but it incentive laden for the Jaguars to get that pick. So it's a fourth rounder, but if Ridley outperforms,
it goes up,
which in that case, the Jaguars aren't really looking at it as a loss. They're like, okay, we maximize Ridley's talent. And from the Falcons' perspective, they're looking at it like, okay, well, it's just the better we actually want him. We haven't sent in for him to do well with you guys because that just means it's a higher pick for us.
Yeah, so everybody wins in that one.
Yeah, that's one of the rare ones where everybody gets some. This was a rumor at the time, but y'all pissed off the Buffalo Bills.
Man, I'm so glad, what's his name, Chris McCaffrey didn't go over there.
Yeah, but y'all pissed them off to the point where they was like, oh, you want to play that? So they made a phone call to New Orleans, and they called for Alvin Kamara.
Yeah,
fortunately for the rest of the world, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen, thank God.
But here's a little consolation. They got Nyheim Hines from the Colts.
Yeah, I saw
Jonathan
that.
Jonathan Taylor's backup.
He's good?
He's a starter caliber backup.
Oh, okay.
So they already have David Singletary. Now you're just bringing Nyheim Hines in, and he could either be a duel or he eventually will take over that starting spot.
Yeah. When it comes to my Niners, I was kind of mad about this because Jeff Wilson really did help out last week. He's been helping out for the past year. But because we got a whole lot of running backs, Elijah Mitchell's coming back after the bye week, we traded Jeff Wilson to the Dolphins for a fifth rounder? Yeah, for a fifth rounder draft pick. So, what's his name? Now Mostert got some help now with Jeff Wilson.
Yeah, Chase Edmonds ended up going to the Broncos. They got that deal done. And then in that Broncos deal, Dolphins got back Bradley Chubb as if they didn't need any more linebackers.
Yeah, they really flipped that fucking draft
pick. So they flipped all those draft picks
that the Niners
got for Trey Lance. Unfortunately for the Niners, I mean, it's working out okay for the Niners, but that wasn't the point of that trade. The trade was to get Trey Lance, and unfortunately Trey hasn't been able to perform
because of injury. But
on the Dolphins end,
they got Tyreek Hill.
They flipped one of the first picks that ended up becoming the draft pick for Jalen Waddle. Then they flipped the next pick that ended up leading to the deal that acquired Tyreek Hill. Now they flipped another pick that now has gotten them Bradley Chubb.
Just flipped it. Hey, man.
NFL's really turned into the NBA and how they... Because trades didn't used to be a thing when we were growing up. It was like you would trade... Okay, I trade more so for a lineman.
Yeah.
It was like the unsexy trades. Like, okay, here's a six-round pick. We'll get an offensive line. It's like, oh, okay, I guess it's more so timing. These trades are sexy.
They really are.
Like, ooh, who went there? Ooh, okay.
Ooh. No, when I saw Jeff Wilson went to the Dolphins with Mostert, I'm like, ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about the Niners because he really helped us out a lot. But like I said, Elijah Mitchell's coming back. We picked up Tevin Coleman again. He's back on a practice squad, meaning he's still on the squad if needed.
Right.
And, nigga, he's going to be, dude, that's going to be like 1-2 punch, Elijah Mitchell and Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, by the way, Debo can run the ball too.
That's if he wants to. And then we still got Kittle.
And now he's going to want to because there's sufficient help in the backfield. He's going to want to now because he wants them incentives.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
you see that white boy? Oh, that white boy? Nigga, I want to run. You know?
Shit, Christian McCaffrey looking like, why you sticking with Jimmy G? Put me in the backfield.
Put me in the backfield. Like,
man, let me take snaps.
So I'm telling you, when I was watching the game, it was just like, he was literally doing, like, his Debo was out with a hamstring, and I knew, like, yeah, Christian McCaffrey's going to run all over these niggas. And that's exactly what the fuck he did.
Yep.
I was watching it, like, in awe, like, we really got this nigga. If he stays healthy, we got this motherfucker. Why did they give it up? Like, why did the Panthers get rid of that nigga?
What kind of shit is that?
I mean, when you have Deontay Foreman, if that's your rebuild, we're going to start the rebuild now. Like, yeah. let's do it now.
Yeah, I get it.
They got no direction at quarterback. That's no disrespect to P.J. Walker, but P.J. Walker didn't come in to start the season.
Yeah, the XFL program works.
Right. But you might as well capitalize. You're not going to do anything with Christian McCaffrey. That's the thing. That's what's different from the NFL versus the NBA. I'll say that. NBA, if you're giving up talent, you just got to do a clear overhaul right away to get as much back as possible to clean up as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL, if you're not maximizing the talent,
and they know it,
okay, cool. We're just going. It's so much parity that one move could end up changing you for the very next season.
Yeah.
In the NBA, we got to try to get this working as quickly as possible. It's going to take a while. In the NFL, getting rid of Christian McCaffrey this year could lead to them getting a wild card position next year.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why. Like, of course, you don't want to get rid of a talent like that, but if you're not going anywhere,
and it could be a game changer for it's a game changer on paper. It's a game changer for the Niners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because now teams got to get prepared. Now defenses have to get prepared for all of that.
Right.
That is spooky.
Turning to Dennis Green.
What do you mean?
We know who Jimmy G is, and now you let him off the hook.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Jimmy G going to be throwing for 162 yards, and ain't nobody going to give a damn because your damn running game going to give you 302.
But you see Kittle running over there. You see Ayuk running over here.
Yeah, Kittle going to come out the backfield. Going to be number white boys in that backfield.
Dude, can you imagine if we run the ball with Kittle? Can you all of a sudden, we see Kittle in the backfield? Like,
you see Kittle in the backfield, and you see a line. I'm not talking about an offensive line. I mean, you see a straight line of offensive linemen just running blocking.
Yeah, you got fucking, what's his name? Not Tomlinson. Our fucking left tackle. Greatest left tackle of all time, and I always fuck up at his name. Oh my god, tell me.
Nope.
Fuck
I've
you.
Done enough.
No! I was gonna say Tomlinson.
I'm gang gang, not Empire Empire anymore.
You want some J-E-T-S?
You want to be gang gang?
Want to be gang gang?
It's miserable over here.
It's miserable.
But we got poker chips.
Trent Williams. Dude, can you imagine? I won't put it past fucking, what's his name? Like Kyle Shanahan putting Kittle in the backfield.
Put Trent Williams in the backfield.
He'll put
Trent Williams on the line. Go get a touchdown.
Get a touchdown.
You saw the Raiders used to use Donald Penn.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Man, it's like on paper we look good, and like I said, it's funny because Rams. It's just like Jalen Ramsey because before the game, Jalen Ramsey had cleats that said "I'm him," and again, people were like, "Oh, so you're wearing that because Debo ain't playing?" Okay, and then he couldn't cover nobody. Every time we play him, he misses the interceptions from Garoppolo.
Oh yeah,
it's just like the ball just does not want him.
No,
like, you ain't him today. You're he.
Man, I just gotta pray for health and
just hopefully
y'all pray for three things that you always gotta pray for as a Niner fan, and I'd say this from previous experience. You pray for health. You pray for the insufficient quarterback. Just please manage this damn game.
Yep.
And you pray the Seahawks decline when you need most.
Yeah, because right now they're number one in the division. Like, what?
Geno Smith holding it down, and there's a brand new running back.
Like,
baby beast mode.
Like, I tell
Kenneth
you.
Walker III.
I know. I'll be watching
And him. I know, because I watch it in pain. I traded him away at the beginning of the season.
And we got to go against some niggas again. So in fucking Seattle. And now Pete Carroll's, that nigga Carroll is going to be ready. Yeah. He's going to be ready, and he's going to want to take our block off.
Carroll.
You know, Cannon.
Yep.
Carroll. Ah, man. Gotta love football, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
World Series is 1-1. They're in the middle of Game 3 as we are recording because Game 3 was postponed because of weather.
Uh-huh.
Once again, I don't understand the fascination with playing sports outside.
Put a dome.
You don't have to.
Yeah, we all keep saying, just put a fucking dome. That's what fucking Jed York should have done with the fucking Levi's. Because if I saw The Undertaker come out, it would have been darkness. Still mad about that shit.
That Tennessee stadium looks beautiful that they're about to,
about
to build up.
Oh, yeah, and they fucking sat down. What's his name? Tannehill.
No, he's hurt.
Oh, he's hurt?
So they didn't sit him. He had an ankle injury.
Oh, okay.
They sat Matt Ryan. sat Matt Ryan.
A moment of silence for Matt Ryan.
Okay, that's over
with. Yeah, that's over with. Yeah, call it a career.
Every week I kept saying that offensive coordinator, he's wilding. Mm-hmm. They fired him too.
Fired his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to, I forget the head coach's name for the Vikings.
Oh,
his son.
Yeah, his son, Zimmer.
Let me make sure. Zimmer, thank you.
Yeah.
Let me make sure I pull that up because I want to give a proper send off. Coach Adam Zimmer, his son, Mike Zimmer. 38 years old. Rest in peace.
Yeah, and also there's like another rest in peace for John McVay, for the former GM for the Niners. Yeah, he was the one that kind of constructed the Niners. Also, grandfather of Sean McVay. He passed away. Yeah. So, yeah, man. Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan. Who's the other dude on the Packers? What's his name? The coach? What's an M in there? MC Mick something.
No, that's Sean McVay.
I know it's Mick.
You're talking about...
Matt LaFleur.
Thank you. I want to say Justin LeBoy.
Justin LeBoy.
Oh, yeah. What happened
to your dad? That's nasty. Nigger, him coaching in Green Bay. Yeah, that's nasty. Yeah, Matt LaFleur. LaFleur?
Yeah. LaFleur.
LaFleur. Yeah, so I saw Sean McVay. That he got the Super. He was the first one to get the Super Bowl ring. Hopefully, Kyle Shanahan will be the second. He got a ways to go. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got a ways to go.
Don't ask me about the Raiders. They be at the.
Sean McVay will be back in New England soon.
You got gambling.
Shit, Sean McVay gonna be back in. Not Sean McVay. Josh McDaniels gonna be back in fucking New England.
Right. Now we get some big news. Again, don't ask me about no basketball. I don't know what the fuck be going on. Lakers won their first game. I didn't even watch it.
Well, I wasn't even going to ask, but...
I did not watch. I saw the score. I was like, oh, they're up. Let me not tune in to piss myself off in the event it happens. Let me just... Sometimes you got to know when to ride the wave, and sometimes riding the wave means that you're not included.
It's okay. So I'm going to ask you this question before you go on. What kind of, like... sports watcher are you? I think I saw it on Instagram. Like, are you the one that just starts yelling at the TV? Do you like yell at the TV, or do you just like control your anger, or when it gets really bad, you just turn the channel and just go about your business?
See, here's the thing, bro.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to your fanship, you got to know, you got to protect your health.
Yeah.
It goes along with it. Being a fan is, in some aspects, is also like being an athlete. You only have a certain window for certain shit. And after that, you got to know it's a young man's game.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in your late teens and your early 20s,
you're
screaming.
Yeah.
You're a madman because mm-hmm. what the hell are they doing?
Yep.
I'm in my early 30s, bro. Nah. And I've reached the point where I tried laughing.
Uh-huh.
And some days it works. And sarcasm is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's other days you just got to change the channel and you can't look back.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I refuse. And that's one of the reasons why basketball doesn't exist to me right now. I told you. Yeah. I just need to see. It wasn't about winning or losing versus the Warriors. That wasn't what I was looking for.
Mm.
It was how do you look?
Yeah.
Do you look like a formidable team? And they didn't. So it's nothing for you to watch.
I don't care. That's how I am with my Niners sometimes. Like, when we're up, I'll be like yelling, there we go. But then when we're down, I'm like, whatever. Okay, whatever. Then when it starts getting really bad, like during the Kansas City game, I'm like, oh, no, turn it off. And then just, I was done. I'm like, I ain't watching nothing else. No, I'm good. No, I don't need to watch nothing else.
Yeah, no. Some people say, you're not a ride or die. Okay.
I'm protecting my health.
Yeah, dude. My health matters now.
Yeah, my health matters.
I'm not a ride or die. No, it's all. I'm for me. If the team gave a fuck about me, they would have put a product out.
What did Kendrick say at the end of Mr. Morale?
Yeah.
I choose me, and I'm not sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sorry. Kendrick told you he's sorry. I'm not.
You motherfucker.
He said, I choose me. I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell you, I choose me, and I'm going to say, what's for dinner?
Exactly.
And I'm going to eat out your fridge.
Exactly. Nigga.
I got time for this shit.
Yeah, that's the kind of sports part.
So I don't know what's going on inside the lines, but boy,
a lot of shit.
What's going outside them lines?
Waiting, baby.
Thief Nash is gone.
Yeah, he got fired. Or he quit. Either or. No, not quit. It was, they said first, Woj said he got fired. Other one said,
Shams said they left amicably. But then Woj spun the block and said, yeah, it was mutual.
And he was quick to say he got fired.
Yeah.
He was quick to tweet that shit out.
Woj is in two payrolls. He's in the payroll for the Nets. And he's in the payroll for the Clippers. He didn't want to have to deal with that shit. Yeah, no, this thing about Steve Nash.
Yeah, you feel personal with this.
Well, it's not so much that I feel personal with it.
Uh-huh.
This really isn't his fault. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know I'm petty and that's jokes. Like, you know, the whole thing. I just came to my biggest hater's funeral to make sure he did. That obviously has to go back to when he was taking money to be a Laker and he was only giving us like 29 games over three seasons.
Yep.
That's what that's got to deal about. In this instance, it's not his fault that he got hired as the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But what I will say is the media keeps protecting him.
Yeah, they
kept doing it over and over and over again. Like, he's got no. If that was predominantly black coach who had Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden.
Now fucking Ben Simmons.
Like, there wouldn't be an excuse.
There really would not be an excuse.
First of all, Steve Nash wasn't qualified to handle that job.
With all them fucking egos and shit.
And again, it's not his fault.
Mm-hmm.
That was his first attempt at coaching. He wasn't even a head assistant.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he played a role for the Warriors.
Yeah.
On their staff. Mm. But then immediately he ends up on their coaching as their coach. And it's like, wait, what? How'd you not pay your dues? Like, the dues that they told you to pay was like, oh, you're banking on the fact that you were one of the best point guards in history. But that don't equate to anything on the
coaching
bench.
Yeah.
I don't get it, bro.
The Nets went through a lot of shit. I'm reading this tweet right now.
Oh, yeah. Read all that off, please.
Kyrie asks out. Can't find anyone to take him. He has to stay. KD asks out. No one will give up enough. Demands Nash and Marks are fired. Nets say no. KD agrees to stay. Kyrie platforms anti-Semitism, which we'll get to. Nets fire Nash after six games after telling KD they wouldn't fire him. Oh, yeah. I didn't mention Ben Simmons got here. This all started at the end of June. It's the beginning of November. It's been 4 months.
Yeah.
And
it's just these these franchises with no sense of direction. And I ain't just pointing it out to the Nets. Lakers ain't got no sense of direction right now. The one thing they did get right was Darvin Ham.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, there's one other stuff. There's one other mention about the Nets. About who they're going to get for his replacement.
Oh,
That is powerful niggardry.
You thought the doors was closed.
In Boston.
You thought that nasty man was gone.
Yeah.
You thought he couldn't terrorize your household and your bedrooms.
Better hide your wives.
Ime Udoka is back.
Why'd you say it like that? Why'd you say it like that? Ime Udoka is back. Even though the Nets owner came out and said, oh no, it's not true. Lying ass nigga.
Well, see, the thing is, Ime Udoka was on Steve Nash's coaching staff.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah. And Ime Udoka knows what's in them offices in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And just the word of, yeah, he's the leading front man for them to come in and take over. Ime Udoka thinking of them offices and like...
And I've been waiting, baby.
And this comes off of... I forget the owner's name. I'm forgetting the Nets owner's name. This comes a few days after, of course, Kyrie, his statement, or I don't even want to say his statement.
He posted up... Say what his name is?
Let me see real quick.
Joseph
Tissot? Oh, Joseph Tsai.
Joseph Tsai.
Yeah, Joseph Tsai.
I'm telling off.
Joseph Tsai.
Joseph Tsai?
Yeah. This comes off of 3 days after he put the tweet up and he said, this is bigger than basketball in regards to Kyrie.
And then word gets out.
Ime Udoka is the leading front runner to take over this position. And, of course, the Celtics already made a statement they're not going to stand in the way of him and his employment opportunities. This is bigger than basketball. but not bigger than that.
Oh, we need a window. Yeah. It's bigger than basketball. We still need a window.
Yeah.
Man, Nets is in shambles, man. They're in shambles. Like, god damn.
Bro, this might be the year of the mid to small market team. Portland Trailblazers are the leading team in the West right now.
Yep.
Milwaukee is undefeated. They're the lone undefeated team this year. The Pelicans look like they are, like I said, they're the team that you don't want to play.
Yep.
It's just Utah forgot that they were supposed to be tanking.
Yeah.
I think they're 5-1 or 4-2 or some shit like that.
Well, that's not how you play the game.
Right.
That's not how it's like from the West. That's not how you do it. Right. That's not how the game is played.
It's not how you do that. Shit. Jazz started winning and Danny Ainge was like, yo, get the Lakers back on the phone.
Yeah, we need Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, nah.
Now.
Here, take all the shooters.
I'm surprised they have, man. Again, I'm still surprised you guys still have that man on your team. He is
because they said they want to go through 20 games and go through Thanksgiving, and I'm like, what?
Okay.
You wonder why I'm not watching.
Don't blame you.
Somebody did this.
Why do you want me to subject myself to that and be pissed off and ruin my day?
Ruin my day. Someone breaks into your car.
I've been in a fairly great mood the past few weeks. Why am I going to interrupt that?
And watch my favorite basketball team just be in shambles.
Yeah, why am I going to let my favorite team take away my shine and my happiness?
I'll never forget that day. God bless my uncle. I remember when the Niners were like really trash those years. And my uncle, God bless him, for Christmas, he called my mom and he was like, yeah, I was thinking about getting him some Niner tickets. My mom was like, oh no, don't do that. Like, are you sure they're really cheap? Like, no.
He might as well have got you some Raider tickets. It actually would have been the better gift that year. What year was this?
Oh, it was the bad year. I forgot which year.
Which one?
20.
Rete?
No. It was when
Alex Smith was there?
No, he was gone. It was when Kaepernick was there, but he was trash.
Oh.
It was the Chip Kelly years.
Oh.
Yeah. I remember my mom, he was like, no, don't do that.
She said, I know why. It was off the heels of Harbaugh.
Yeah, I was angry. You remember that?
Yeah.
You remember them years for me? I was mad.
Yeah.
Oh, I was mad.
Oh, there was if you've been riding with us from day one, to all our listeners, we give you a round of applause and we thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've been riding with us from day one,
I remember
Busby used to end this podcast with on one note.
Fuck Jed York. I blamed him for everything.
You blamed him for rain.
until we hired Kyle Shanahan, I was like, oh, whatever. And then, you know, it was a little steady up. And then that one year.
You blamed Jed York. Your mom used to say, oh, Aaron, don't do that. You say, oh, mommy, I got a dream. And that motherfucker fucked it up.
Fucked it all up. He said personally, if we don't win a Super Bowl, hold me personally responsible. It was personal.
Busby said, you got a 2-for-1 coupon?
Oh, boy, it was personal.
Busby took my card and said, I got two of them motherfuckers.
Like, there was a reason why Twitter was the Wild Wild West back then. I said, fuck Jed York to make my teeth white. I deleted all of them. Because all of a sudden, like,
you ain't real.
I kept it real. I kept it real. Nah, I wasn't trying to get suspended. Nah, then after that, I was like,
Busby got so mad that whether you are a current Niners fan or a former Niners fan, you know, they still send you stuff in the mail. Busby found out I had a redeemable coupon. He said, give me that. He said, if you ain't going to use it, I'll use it for you.
I'll use it. Fuck that nigga. I was pissed. Every Niners game, I was mad as hell. Like, I ain't going to watch this shit. I'm like, why am I going to watch this? You going to make me angry? The fuck? Only time we won was on Christmas. That made me day before Christmas. At least my day's good. We won. We fucked up someone in the playoffs. But whatever. And then all of a sudden Jimmy G came. And then that was a slow process. And then fucking, you know, the Super Bowl run. And then I apologized to Jed York. I saw the vision.
That leads me to a question. This is actually a good topic. Because we talked about the late, great Al Davis. That leads me to one of the greatest things I ever heard in regards to front office politics.
Mm.
Jed York tried to go into that meeting. And
Jim Harbaugh
looked at him like he was
nothing.
Kay Corleone in The Godfather. Said, this men is a only. Men's only meeting, and he shut the door on him.
This is the owner of the San Francisco 49ers. The owner and president.
Now that leads me to just ask, what are some of the most disrespectful
shit I told my boss?
Yeah, I guess that's even better. We could go there, but I was trying to keep it in sports.
Oh.
What's some of the most disrespectful shit? Obviously, taking away the three most recent ones where we think of Al Davis,
Jim Harbaugh,
and Ime Udoka fucking everything that had to do with an executive's wife, allegedly.
Uh-huh.
That hasn't been confirmed yet.
Uh-huh.
But just think of some things that...
Spree
front office walk. Okay.
That's the first thing that came to my mind. Spree rail. Okay. Do I have to say it? Warrior fans know what I'm talking about.
Once upon a time, Latrell Sprewell played for the Golden State Warriors.
Uh-huh.
And once upon a time, he did something that was so heinous that they deleted him out of NBA Live. You couldn't find him.
They deleted him off of NBA Live in the
update? Yeah, and this was before there was even downloadable content.
Oh, they deleted him off the game.
Damn. You couldn't play as him. He was not a free agent. It was nothing. It was just, well, he ain't here, so that's it.
He choked out his coach.
PJ Carlissimo.
Damn, you forgot. I don't remember the name. I forgot the damn name. That coach must have really pissed him off to go over there and choke him out in practice. You know how mad you got to be to choke out your damn coach?
It takes energy.
That takes a lot of energy. And he was fed up with that nigga and choked that white boy out.
I guess something else that can be disrespectful is just James Dolan in his entirety.
James Dolan?
The Knicks owner.
Oh, yeah, him. Yeah.
They said, we want some answers. He said, I'm not, not only am I not answering, I have a band and we're going to be playing music tonight. What else is, I'm trying to think of some most disrespectful things in sports, bro, that had to do with front office. Because that was, Harbaugh. I still remember heard that Harbaugh story, like, what?
I remember reading that shit like, that nigga's funny. Nigga told the owner of the team, men only, and closed the door in his face. And he was like, motherfucker. I can see the look on it. It was that Charlie Murphy look after he got slapped. Like,
I know this red from Friday. He gonna cry in the car.
Well, he's like, I know this motherfucker didn't do that. And then when those reports came out that said, was it called Super Bowl or not, he is gone. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, Last Dance? Huh? Like, yeah, man. And he went 8-8 and he was out of there.
Yep.
And then that whole team, man, and it just went... Pew! I was so pissed. I'm like, we're trash now. And yeah, we sucked that for the first few years. We suck again. Oh, God. We were trash. Now we just have this emotional roller coaster.
Michael Jordan and Jerry Krause.
Oh, yeah. You watch fucking The Last Dance. It was on camera how he was disrespectful to that boy. So you should be glad you didn't watch Lord of the Rings. You would have called his ass a hobbit.
That's how much power you knew Michael Jordan had in the NBA. It wasn't a head coach and an owner. Okay. The player.
Yeah.
Putting the owner in its place.
Because he knows you need me. I don't need you.
Right. And that's very true. Since Michael Jordan's left, the Bulls have not won.
They have not
a conference final.
Sniffed the finals.
They have not won a conference
final. They have a whole bunch of Jordans up there. They don't got no championships. They got a whole bunch of Jordans up there.
Right. Those ain't championships. Those are Jordans.
That's what Red told me once. Those aren't championships. Those are Jordans. They got six Jordans up there.
Those are Jordans.
They never won a championship in life.
You can't even say those are Pippins.
Those are just Jordans. A whole bunch of J's up there.
Yeah.
Shit. They gotta look up there. Look up Jordan. Whoever. Man, imagine if LeBron would have went to the Bulls. He would have got them a championship.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. There would have been some Bronze up there. Been a whole bunch of Jordans and LeBrons. Shit.
Man.
That would have been something. Like, that would have been something for his legacy. Go to Chicago to get, if he didn't go to the Heat when he went to Chicago to help them get a ring.
Huh. Yeah. Oh, have you ever, there's something, last thing on sports. Mm. If you, I don't know if you've seen this clip on YouTube, but it's the move that changed the NBA forever.
I saw a clip, I saw like the title, I didn't watch it.
Long story short, it's one of the players, unless you're a basketball aficionado like me, you're not going to know this name. Andre Carter.
Okay.
Andre Carter played for the Miami Heat. Andre Carter had a special deal. Well, not a special deal. He just had his final year. He had to opt back into the contract.
Mm-hmm.
This was in 2003, 2004, one of the two.
Yeah.
I think it was 2003. He had to opt into the contract to get the $4 million. But what happened was his agent didn't fax over the contract.
Huh.
So he ended up becoming a free agent. that opened up the door for them to acquire Lamar Odom.
Oh, wow.
All this kind of shit. And then it goes, like, how this dude, he...
Like a domino effect?
It was the biggest domino effect, because what ended up happening as a result of that was this one signing then led to them, obviously, the Heat being horrible that year. And then it led to both the Raptors and the Heat basically playing for the fourth overall pick.
Mm.
And the Heat won. So that's how they got the fifth pick, and Toronto got the fourth.
Uh-huh.
And then Pat Riley has come out, and he has said, if we had the fourth pick, we were going to take Chris Bosh.
Whoa.
So Chris Bosh was destined to be in Miami.
So it was destined to happen either
way. Yeah.
Damn, that's nuts.
But Andre Carter, that one mishap by his agent, it actually just propelled everything. It goes so deep that it actually, I forgot what it led to with Steph, mm-hmm. but it even leads to Steph Curry.
It's like a whole domino
effect. Because so that one Andre Carter's agent didn't fax over that Andre Carter was going to opt in for that $4 million.
Damn.
It's crazy, bro.
It's that one little event. If that one little event didn't happen, a lot of shit wouldn't have happened.
Because, you know, most people are like, oh, LeBron. But it's like, no.
No.
This happened before they even hit the draft.
Shit.
Yeah, it's one of those.
That's nuts. Now, when it comes to Kyrie Irving, yeah, boy. I'm trying so hard not to talk about Kanye on this shit. But the impact that Kanye has is kind of non-debatable. Because I knew when Kanye was going to, when he talked about the stupid shit he was saying, I'm like, Kyrie's going to say something stupid. He's going to do something stupid or say something stupid. And he did just that. Yeah, last week he posted on his Instagram a book that's out there called Negroes to Hebrews or whatever. I can't pronounce it with my tongue. Hebrews to whatever. And it's a book, and he posted it on Amazon. It's a movie based on a book. And I don't know about that shit. I was like, whatever. But a lot of Jewish folks know about that shit. And if you read the reviews about it, the movie and that's based on the book pretty much is filled with a lot of anti-Semitic, like, stuff in it.
Right.
And one of them was saying that how they literally saying that Jewish people are worshiping Satan. And I was like, okay.
What kind of shit is that?
And Kyrie posted about it. And I remember I put up a post. I was like, okay, is Kyrie going to A, apologize, or B, double down and pull a Kanye? What do you think he did, people?
Yeah, we know what he did. Double down on it. I'm not intellectual.
I ain't gonna lecture. I just want to. Yeah.
I'm not in the know about this.
Mm-hmm.
If Jewish people are going to say that this is how they describe it, which is all, you know, insensitive, it's full of this. I'm going to take their word for it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to discredit anybody and that's in the know.
Yeah.
I'm just one of those people where I don't read stuff and jump in it to discredit people.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know for myself.
Yeah.
Because there's been many times, you know, where somebody says, oh, don't read it because it's this. And then you actually go and read it and you're like, I don't think you even read it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I just go into it so that way I can be in the know and be well informed and educated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's in there. Apparently, allegedly, from what they say, that Hitler had once claimed, although it's not proven,
mm-hmm.
In regards to the black Israelites. Mm-hmm. That's not the first time I heard it, and Hitler saying it isn't the first person I heard say that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not here to side with anybody. I don't know what's in that book, and if that's what
or a movie or whatever or a
movie, I don't know what's in that. So if that's what they're saying is that's what it is, I'll take their word for it. I'm just under the perception that unless I know and stuff like that, I don't necessarily want to have a comment on it because I don't know.
Good call. That's a ding.
Yeah.
A lot of people be saying shit.
People just be talking out their ass because they think they know.
And they think they're the smartest one in the room.
Right. I have no problem. I have no problem relinquishing that.
If you don't know.
The idea that I don't know.
Yeah, people could say that, or like Dave Chappelle said, you could shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know?
So I know people feel a way about Kyrie. I'm not going to go that far. He was insensitive. I will say he was insensitive.
Especially in his
press conference. No problem saying that. The reporter was apparently of Jewish
Descent or whatever.
I don't even want to say descent.
Not descent. Yeah, he's just Jewish.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he's Jewish. It could have been a good opportunity for some dialogue and just a learning lesson. So in that instance, he was insensitive, but not going to go as far as to call Kyrie out of his name either.
Yeah.
For all I know, Kyrie is well informed on that, and there could be some truths to the ideology that I've picked up over the years in terms of, not picked up, but I've seen
being
passed around in terms of information. I just don't know. I'm not informed on that, so I don't want
to
speak.
With me, when it comes to Kyrie, he's a flat earther. He believes that the earth is flat. He took shit from Alex Jones's shit. And I still didn't forget about the whole shit he did during the pandemic when he didn't want to get the shot. So it's kind of with me, like, I'm like, okay, you one of them niggas.
But on the flip side, too, Kyrie was one of the first ones to stand up for the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie was one of the first ones to openly say, just because I'm against the vaccine doesn't mean I'm telling anybody else to be against it.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie was also one of the first ones to go out on the front line and go protest.
Yeah, he was.
And do all that.
I remember that.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm saying it's a give and take with Kyrie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call him out of his name because in many aspects he has been one of the louder ones in support of our community in certain aspects.
He can be loud right and wrong at the same time.
Right, so.
And sometimes all you really can do is just get educated. Like all the times when during the whole Black Lives Matter movement, especially in 2020 during the George Floyd shit, we were telling white folks to literally educate themselves in Black history and Black trauma and shit like that. Just educate yourselves and learn why we feel so angry. So if Jewish people are trying to tell you guys, educate yourself on the Holocaust. Educate on stuff that happened to us in our lifetime about why you shouldn't say these type of stuff. Maybe you should do that stuff. You can't be just dissing the shit and say, yeah, I believe what Kanye's saying. And then when Black History Month comes up or Lord forbid, another hashtag name comes out, we got to yell Black Lives Matter and shit like that.
Right.
It's just, come on, bro.
You know what Kyrie's main problem is?
What?
I mean, outside the obvious, that I could go beyond that. His main problem is he takes himself too seriously.
That too.
If he were to, I'm not trying to give him advice because it's easy to give somebody advice when you don't have to be in the limelight. Mm-hmm. So that I want to make that perfectly clear. I'm not here. I'm just saying that if he were cracking jokes, if he would say some things and he would like smile, like the flat earth stuff, if he would just say it and then smile like, yeah, I mean, this is what I believe, but that's what it is, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just joke about it. They wouldn't be so intense on him.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that he says it, I don't have an issue with him believing it, but then he not only just doubles down it, but he doubles down in a way that it's offsetting the people.
He tries to talk like he's the smartest person in the room.
Right.
And I've always learned if you are the smartest person in the room, you are in the wrong room. I don't want to be the smartest person in the room.
Or
sometimes.
It's not necessarily that, because you could be the smartest person in the room.
Well,
somebody's got to be the smartest person
in the room. Someone has to be smart, yeah.
If you're the smartest person in the room and you're trying to tell people you're the smartest person in the room.
There you go.
That's what the issue
is. The Kanye's of the world.
Sometimes people can't help being the smartest person in the room.
That's true. They can't help it. Yeah, they know what they know.
Yeah.
You know, if you're educating them.
Right.
Little tidbit about the whole Kanye shit. You know the whole White Lives Matter shit? You know that he can't yeah. sell that shirt.
He can't sell it.
No. Why? Because two black men own the rights to it.
Yep.
They got that. They registered the shit in 2020 because they wanted to make sure it landed in the wrong hands. Without him, they were thinking of a white person, but it was him.
So get to those kings.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's that on that. But Atlanta.
Yeah. Brother, no. First, we're gonna get there. But that's something I gotta digest. I want to once again.
Right. And I've been waiting,
Abbott
baby.
Elementary.
Oh yes,
one of the greatest Halloween episodes I've ever seen in any sitcom.
That was a good episode.
That was
really
all
good.
The references.
Uh-huh.
Oh man. It was just magnificent, from the James Harden costume to the James Harden walk-off.
When she did that, yeah. Then the Marvel car.
The whole Collins. Marvel universe being put in there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mr. Johnson became a costume himself.
Yeah. And then, I'm going to sue you for right. Alvin Elementary, man, like that's one of those shows. Sometimes I don't watch each episode every week.
Mm.
I just gotta wait for them to pile up, and then I start watching them. Because when you told me to watch the Halloween episode, I went and watched it. Then I just started watching all the episodes. Man, that show's fucking hilarious, man.
It's just so
Prince of Bronson, man.
It's so well put together,
written,
so realistic.
It really is the
even off. When it's like off the like even when it's like off the wall comedy, like this can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You still look at it and you're like, no, this could happen. This is very plausible.
Yeah.
There is definitely a way.
And I love how they're slowly doing what's old boy's name from Variety Express?
Eddie
and what's her name? Quinta Bronson's character.
Shit. Damn, I had it right at the tip of my head because I was going to bring that up too. Abbott Elementary. We got Janine. Janine.
Yeah, when you see them, and I love how they keep sprinkling that they like each other, mm-hmm. but it's very quick.
Yeah.
It's not even, they don't even have you think about it. Every time they're about to have a moment, something always happens.
Yeah, Eddie saw Janine walk out in that dress and he was like,
oh, shit, you look really good. Man.
But, and it's not, but it's just, this isn't in comparison. Uh-huh. All I'm saying is, you can give that look. It's just when you got the phone number of how Janine and her friend described, that's really a bad bitch.
Oh, yeah.
When you got her phone number, I mean,
she can wait. Yeah.
Hey.
It
worked for Jim.
It did. Hey, worked for Ghost, too. Chill, Janine. I just fell in love with the love of my life.
Tasha, show some little compassion. I just lost the love of my life. And you wonder why he did.
By his own son.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But I really love this damn show.
Oh, it's amazing.
I want to see how far they can take this show.
Easy. 6 seasons easy.
Yeah, this is The Office for our generation.
Yeah, and the good thing, again, this ain't another 10-episode season. I'm pretty sure they got cleared for 16 to 24 episodes.
They're gonna probably take
we'll have a Christmas break and then they come right back and
going to Valentine's Day, going to the summer.
Oh my gosh.
I can't wait for the Valentine's Day episode. Ooh, that's probably when he's gonna confess his love to her.
No.
No?
The Office took 4 seasons.
It took 4 seasons for him to. Oh, wow.
No. He confessed his love to her, but it took 4 seasons for Jim and Pam to get
together. Oh, to get married.
Not to get married, to get together.
Oh, no. When I say, let me rephrase that. To confess his feelings for her. How about that?
Yeah, he did that in season 2.
Yeah, season 2. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
But once we get to now, round of applause for Donald Glover.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy.
Because if you play it.
Baby.
You let Takeoff go.
Somebody did this.
Yeah, yeah. Alright, don't play too much because that mouse might come get us.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Now, when I saw, because when Atlanta ended last week, we didn't talk about last week's episode, it was an essential episode about Vern and Van and Earn's like relationship and shit, which was a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
But then I noticed they didn't show the trailer for the next episode, and I'm like, there's only 3 episodes left, and I was like, that's interesting. So I waited, and then when the episode it was on Hulu, they showed the description, and I was like, so what is it? So I looked, and that's why I was just curious to say, what's the description for this week? And it said, the goof that sat by the door. And I was like, wait, what? And it said an autobiography on the creation of the greatest American classic, A Goofy Movie. I saw that. I was like, oh.
It leads me now to ask, what are some other possibilities that can be reimagined in a series? Because that was by far one of the greatest reimaginings of how a Goofy movie came to an existence.
Nigga, when they said...
Don't jump to the climax. You can't jump there.
I'm not talking
right
about
yet.
The climax. I'm talking about the ending he won for the actual
That's
Goofy
the climax.
Movie.
You have to build up to it, my man. Like, you can't just go there.
Oh.
It's all from, like, let's talk about how the fact they screwed up his name and that's how he even ended up as the damn CEO for a few years.
Oh, also, shout out to Sinbad. He was in this shit.
Yeah.
First time, I think that's the first time he's been on camera in like years after his stroke.
Right.
Yeah, I was shocked to see him. I'm like, holy shit, Donald Glover got Sinbad. But.
I mean, it ain't far-fetched. Donald Glover got Lil Zane in season 1.
Yeah, but it was just really wild. I was just glad
he could get
see,
anybody.
It was just glad to see Sinbad that he looked like he was in good health.
as Prim would say, he an all-star.
Yeah, he's a black all-star. Nah, but reimagining, like, they pretty much Black Twitter made a Goofy movie into a black movie. Like, that they we it was the it. First.
It is a black movie.
Yeah.
Goofy is black. All I'm saying is the reimagining was the story of how this script got created. No, Goofy's always been black.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that... Yeah. That a Goofy movie is a black movie.
It's very black.
What other, like, when the hell did you see one of them damn princesses singing Powerline?
Powerline, yeah.
You know, I know it's Tevin Campbell, but when you ain't never cool. heard them singing that soul and that oomph?
Yeah.
That was a Goofy movie.
Yeah, it really was, yeah.
They tried to switch it up in 99 with the sequel and they made it more rock.
Yeah.
And all that, but no. I know a nigga when I see one.
Yeah, they made fucking Max do skateboarding and shit.
Yeah.
That one was good, but it didn't touch the original at all.
Well, I mean, Max skateboarded in the first, but skateboarding ain't...
Well, not skateboarding. He was in extreme sports and shit.
Yeah.
And it was also... The Goofy movie was a spinoff of a Goof Troop that used to come on, like, syndication and shit.
Right.
But, nah. This is in the Atlanta universe. This is a black movie, and he made this after the riots. And what made it funnier was that of how serious the tone was.
Oh, yeah. It was... Bro.
I said...
When the artist said, I was pretty sure I sat there for hours and hours and hours because he said, that's not how black people dap.
That's not how black people dap.
I drew a dap for hours and hours.
I was just sitting there like...
He said, what was it? The guy that he was the in-betweener?
Yeah.
He said in-betweener is good because the main artist, all he gets to do is he gets the start and the climax. He goes, but all you get to do is everything that leads and builds up.
Leads up to it.
He said, he came up to me and said, I'm CEO. I want to make you a director.
This episode could have fit into season 3, but I'm so glad he put it right here.
This is easily one of the top five of the series.
Yeah, it was from a BAN. It was a BAN exclusive.
I'm glad you caught it.
Yeah, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, here we go.
Yep.
And then I saw that shit. This was episode 8, right?
Yeah, the first one that wasn't an Al episode.
An Al episode, yeah.
Al usually controls episode 8.
Nah, this one. In a way, this was a callback to Al. The goof that sat by the door.
Oh, yeah.
Because you remember what happened in episode 8?
Somebody did this.
Wearing that goofy hat, sitting by the door.
Yeah.
I just realized that. Oh, shit. That was a callback then.
Wait a minute.
What?
What if everything in season 3 is actually playing out in season 4 right now?
What do you mean?
It has a connection to it.
What do you mean?
What if every episode 1 was connected to episode 1, episode 2, from all those from the season 3 was connected to this? Because now I got to go back and look and just to make sure.
It probably is kind of. Because it's like in an alternate universe. Probably an episode. I hope in the series finale everything connects. I really hope in the series finale everything connects. I hope he brings everything full circle in the end.
Yeah.
But this shit, because there's only 2 episodes left now.
But no, we got to go back to reimagining. This is the important question. What else could you see that is reimagined?
Lion King.
The origin story of it?
The origin story. Even we all know about this whole origin story of how to do it, because that was a black movie too, kind of. Aladdin.
I'm going to give you this one.
What?
I can see a reimagining of how the NFL had to beg for mercy, and they got Michael Jackson to come perform for the halftime show.
I was thinking animated, but that's...
I could see something involving... They had to... Michael was... he was afraid because of that Pepsi. Pepsi was sponsored.
Yeah, the Pepsi was sponsored
the halftime show.
Yeah, you don't want to get in there for... He gets flashbacks.
I could see some shit like that.
Then when Michael jumped up on stage,
you know how Michael Jackson ended up in the halftime show, right?
They begged him to go.
No, but you know why.
To get rated.
No. There was a specific reason, and it's out there.
What's the reason?
And again? it is a black ass story as to why.
What's the reason again?
The year before, when they were just doing whatever for the halftime,
mm-hmm.
the year before, Keenan Ivory Wayne said, we're going to do a special 15 minute during the halftime show.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
And the NFL was like, oh no.
Oh no.
We can't let this nigga do this to us.
We got to get the big nigga.
Yeah.
We got to get the ultimate nigga of them all. Michael!
White Michael.
White Michael. I remember that. They did do that.
Yeah, because they've been living single. Yeah, so for those who don't know,
yeah,
that's some history for your ass.
Yeah.
Once again, black culture propelling everything that has to do with America. The reason why you have expansive-ass halftime shows is because of the Wayne
brothers.
Because
of Keenan Ivory Wayne. He had a 15-minute set of In Living Color. It was live, too. I remember that.
Yeah.
Damn, that takes it all the way back. I don't remember that shit.
But now I'm going back to reimagining. Yeah. Here's one.
Mm.
Reimagining how Shaq got to the Lakers and they got Kobe that same year.
Damn.
That would be some shit I'd like to see that would be reimagined. But if I want to keep it to what the theme was and how they basically turned an animated film into like the black experience. Boy. Whew. Lenny Kravitz taking over Rock.
Taking over what?
Rock. That period of time when he first came in.
Uh-huh.
And it's over era.
Yeah.
Lenny, I want to see what Lenny Kravitz, how he became
the most popular rock icon
at that period of time. What else is there? Oh, let's get down to it. Let's come on. Come on. What?
And I've been waiting, baby.
White Living Single.
Oh. What would have happened?
I want to know. Not what would have happened. I want to know the... Because we know what it is. Oh. I want to know the reimagining. Yeah.
If they did White Living Single and it was a kind of semi-popular shit, then the black folks took it. They called it Friends.
Yeah.
And they had... Oh.
Yeah. Now we talking.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
That'll be some shit. Yeah, we took your shit. But... Yeah, we'll go back to this episode of Atlanta. Like, the part where I really rolled on the floor laughing was when they said, oh, the original ending of the Goofy movie. They showed the scene of the cop.
He was supposed to go on stage with Powerline, and he was supposed to get shot. Because, of course, who is this black man on stage just out of nowhere?
I literally rolled on the floor laughing my ass off. Yeah, Goofy's supposed to get shot when he got on. Like, no one's gonna believe that nigga just ran up on stage with Paula. Or the scene.
Or no, the scene where they said they got cut was when they go to this the shop and he looks at it wasn't Malcolm X, it was Huey Newton.
Oh yeah,
his chair, and Max sits in his chair and he finally understands, but they erased it. Because they put that damn... What was it? The damn Bigfoot?
The Bigfoot
scene.
They
put the Bigfoot.
They put the Bigfoot scene in there.
And every time he got... It was like... He knew he was black. And he wanted to make sure the people knew. And they were showing all the photos when he's with the white men. The white men are just like looking so scared as hell.
Yeah. Chilling on the table and shit like that. And then they're like, yeah, he wanted to
quit. They say? They offered him $42 million to go away.
No, $42,000.
No, it was million.
No. At first, though, the black dude said it was offered like...
No, the white guy eventually said, we offered him $42 million to go away.
No, it was $75 million.
$75 million, thank you.
$75,000. They offered him like $75,000 to leave. No, it wasn't $75,000. It was $75 million. And he said no. Yeah. Donald Glover, I want to know the type of weed you were smoking to just watch a Goofy movie and just... You know, what if a black dude really did do this stuff and they really just thought this shit through? You know, because this
That wasn't weed. That was yoga.
Yoga? Something. Because if Disney has the balls, if Disney, anybody from Disney is listening to this, if y'all have the balls on April Fool's Day next year, you attach this episode of Atlanta to a Goofy movie in the extras.
Oh, yeah.
As a documentary on the making of.
Oh, yeah.
Just attach it there just for one day and see if people notice.
On God. And what I loved about it was the creators on Goofy Movie, they appreciated
the director appreciated it.
Yeah.
He liked one of my tweets. He liked a lot of people's tweets. He was like, thank you for this.
Yeah. This was just incredible.
If they have the balls, leave this documentary as an leave that episode as an extra on a Goofy Movie. Just leave it there on April Fool's Day. Yeah. And see if anybody notices. Right. Don't even acknowledge it. Just put it there.
What else would we deem as white culture that could be reimagined as black?
I was going to say Pocahontas.
That's not.
I know it's native, but you hear the story about
it. When that. I say American culture, I'm talking white culture.
Oh, Pocahontas white culture?
Was never even... We knew from
jump. But Disney has like a whole bunch of shit, so we got to go down that line then. There's a lot of... You got Little Mermaid... Beauty and the Beast, Lion King.
I'm not even focused on Disney, though.
Oh, you're not focused on Disney?
Just in general.
That's a lot. You do a lot. I mean, a lot. That's why that episode, the third season, was a Black Fairy Tale.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the shit. That's why I said this episode could have fit an episode on.
Well, it was to prepare. It was to prepare everybody. Nobody was prepared.
Yeah.
Everybody was. Oh, I'm not watching this. I'm not watching this.
Mm-hmm.
That season three gave you an appreciation for this.
Yeah.
This was wonderful.
And there was nobody from Atlanta on this episode either. So it makes me wonder what the next two episodes are going to be. Because there's still no trailer for episode 9. Right. We don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
So.
Now it leads me to another question that's based off of, salute to Abbott Elementary
in Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
But this leads me to another question. And this is comes out of TV.
Mm.
Not by TV, but just dumbasses.
Okay.
Take away all of the negativity that we know is bad.
Like, okay.
We're talking, you know, harming people, those kind of things.
Okay.
Take that out
like of the asshole equation. Asshole shit?
Yeah, take, not even asshole, just evil human beings.
Okay.
Take that out of the equation. We're not talking about this.
Okay.
Do you care if entertainers are completely different from what they put in front of the camera?
No. They're human just like us.
Like I bring this up because for whatever reason, somebody decided to put Patina Miller and her husband up.
The guy who plays Rock on Raising Kanan.
Yeah.
For the people.
And all of a sudden, all this onslaught went against her character. Not the actual character of Rock, but her character
for
as
her
a human being.
Being for going out
because
with
her husband,
man.
For those who don't know, is white.
Yeah.
And I, for the life of me, was like,
who cares?
Who gives a fuck? She is the perfect one for this role.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been putting it down, holding it down. Like, what are you...
I was just mad that she was taken.
Yeah, that could be that.
I just like
I
to
can see that.
I was mad that she was just taken, because that's just bullshit. Yeah, I'm a hater. You damn right. I'm gonna fuck you, black, white. Yeah, no, you white. That's why I'm mad. Have a reason. Give me a reason. Fucker. Nah, man. Like, I don't give a fuck about these niggas. Like, they're just like regular ass people at the end of the day. They just got money. And status, I guess. But what the fuck is status?
Right.
Well, speaking of status, yeah, Elon Musk bought Twitter. Like, he made it official, like, I guess last week. What do you think? Whoa, this is the funny stuff.
And I've been waiting.
That was Elon
baby.
Musk saying that.
You know? No, actually, he didn't want to. He got forced to because Twitter said, oh no, if you don't buy this shit, we're
gonna
sue.
Oh, no, no. He was playing to the crowd. He knew he wanted that.
Who knows, man?
Because he came in, he started wrecking hell. Y'all do this, that, and this, or by the next hour, you're fired.
Pretty much. No, but I'm giving the whole history for the people that don't know. Yeah, he wanted to buy Twitter. He said he wanted to buy Twitter, and then he backed out of it because he's like, oh, never mind. And then Twitter was like, oh, no. You signed on to this. You buying this. And it was like, you break it, you buy it. Because if you don't, we're going to sue you, and you're going to pay us $1 billion. So he found some money, and he, you know, accomplished shit, and now he's, you know, cleaning house and shit like that. Got rid of the board of board of trustees and shit. And now he's given a directive to the staff to come up with a new term for the Twitter Blue platform on Twitter. Pretty much allowing people to... pretty much allowing anybody to get a fucking blue check mark.
Yeah.
And he wanted like a 20... It was like $20 or whatever. It was like a $20 monthly fee. And if they can't come up with it by November 8th, then everyone's fired.
Right.
And niggas are like, wait, what? And then Stephen King on Twitter, he was going like, what the fuck, bro? I ain't gonna do that shit. It was like, okay, we need to pay the light somehow. Okay, what about $8? Wait, you know what the fuck? All right.
What about $8? $8. Oh, okay, I guess.
That's what I said. I was like, oh my God, this motherfucker.
Okay, I guess.
Yeah, everyone's all scared because he's saying it's free speech and he's gonna pretty much open the floodgates for a lot of the, you know, racist folks and shit like that, because the term, the N-word, you know, that hard R-E-R. A lot of them started saying it because it's free speech. You can say what we want now. And I bet you a lot of them got suspended too, which is the funniest part.
Right.
Can't happen at that very moment. You still got to fix shit, but, you know, it is what it is. People say, oh, I'm leaving Twitter. No, you're not. Y'all get your fucking fix off on that damn website. How else are y'all going to kill your time? Or go on Instagram. Just look at pictures. No, you have to be on the phone. You have to, like, give your 2 cents on everything.
Right.
You want to retweet what's going on. You want to see the GIFs. You want to see the memes. You want to see the fucking videos. You want to let people know what you're watching. That's what Twitter was made for. Y'all ain't going nowhere. Y'all, this is like a drug for y'all motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything else?
Yeah, again, I don't, as long as you ain't harming people, live your life.
Exactly.
I don't care. Exactly. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I have no, that's the problem. Mm. People feel like as consumers, they own you.
Exactly.
And if you don't do what they expect you to do, then you're not for real. Mm. And that's the dumbest crock of shit ever.
Yeah.
So nah. Other than that, I'm good this week, bro.
Well, when it comes to music, I forgot we had to mention that shit. Rihanna dropped her first single. A single from the Wakanda Forever soundtrack called Lift Me Up. It's pretty much a tribute to Chadwick Boseman. A lot of people were mad because it wasn't that, you know, dancing rude boy shit. And I'm like, you really expect her to drop that shit on a Chadwick Boseman tribute record?
Right.
It wasn't all the stars, but, you know, it was cool. I guess Eminem dropped the 20th anniversary of 8 Mile, like, for the soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
It's like the second half of the album is none but the instrumentals and the original version of Lose Yourself. So, whatever on that shit. Smino dropped his album, Love for Rent. It was cool.
I missed that one.
It was cool. The first half was cool, like the song 90 Proof with J. Cole. That was cool. J. Cole had a pretty good verse on there. And Mod in a Minute is featuring Lucky Day and Felix. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And Lil Uzi Vert, he's on Pudgy. Lil Uzi Vert was like, Lil Uzi was kind of rapping. He was rapping on that shit.
Hmm.
But the album itself, it's cool. It does the job done and shit. Then we get to Division. Working on My Karma. You didn't listen, huh?
No.
You did listen. Yeah. Duh.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was cool. I only listened a few times.
I told you about that Jagged Edge track.
Oh, that was a good track. What's Up track. Yeah, What's Up.
Now in the context of the album,
If I Get Caught does...
Bring It, If I Get Caught, Stay Faithful, and What's Up.
Yeah, it flows.
Yeah.
There was a one song on here I felt that Drake could have spit on. I think it's Stay Faithful because there's that little instrumental towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking like Drake could have rapped over this shit. I liked the Tired and Get Even, the last two tracks. Those were like vintage Division. It was a good record. It was a really good album.
Yeah.
And then... Boom! West Side Gun dropped 10. It's just called 10 because it was Hitler Wears Hermes.
Basically Kanye and Kyrie been fucking up his series.
Yeah. So, it was a Gangsta Grillz album.
Yeah.
And this was good. DJ Drama hosted the shit. Super Kick Party is fucking fire. ASAP Rocky and
nice.
Yeah, ASAP Rocky's on here. Stove God Cooks is all over this fucking album.
Stove God Cooks still one of the greatest rap names I've ever heard in my life.
He got Blackstar on there with, you know, Usain Bey and Talib Kweli on Pepper. It says Black Star too. So
okay,
yeah, Science Class with Busta Rhymes and Ghostface Killah and Raekwon, fucking fire. That's a fire ass track. He got Run the Jewels on here, and the last track, which is literally a Griselda All Star with Red Death. This is one of his best albums. This is one of the best Hermes records.
Hitler Wears Hermes.
Yeah, it was really good.
Okay.
Now, if y'all notice, people, you're missing an album. We're missing a particular album. Yeah. Aubrey and 21 Savage. We said last week the album was dropping. Yeah, it was supposed to drop, but then 40... Oh, I was going to say it. 40 caught COVID. 40 got sick, caught COVID, and they needed to master the album. when he still needs to mix and master the album. So yeah, they had to wait till this week.
Prayers up for 40.
Prayers up for 40 because he got what does he have again? He has MS.
Yeah.
So yeah, that I guess he's okay now if he's still mixing it. But round of applause for Taylor Swift. 1.5 million units were sold on that damn for her album. That's nuts. 1.5 million, and she took up the entire Billboard. She took up the whole top 10. The first artist to ever do that.
It's crazy.
That's nuts. Drake was he only took up 8 spots. Really, he took up 8 or 9 spots last time with Certified. I think it was 8.
7 or 8.
Yeah, he took up 8. Taylor Swift took up all 10 of those shits. And he hated, but respect, you gotta give her. I was like, I gotta respect that. Shit. Other than that, music is cool. I'm just waiting for King's Disease 3. That's coming out on the 11th. Birthday's coming up. Might go to a Niner game. I am curious about this Drake and 21 Savage shit.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Other than that, that's all I got.
Yep, I'm good.
Anyway, this is episode 279.
279.
We're about to be 280 next week of the most consistent podcast in the Bay Area.
Give me a hell yeah.
You can always follow us on Twitter. Shout out to Mr. Fab. You can follow me, Mr. Buzz B, for lowercase o8 on the Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram at Theological Sense. You can follow us on Twitter at Theological SP. And of course, on the Facebook.
And on all social media at JC No. Very important to say, in regards to, I was even going to say this before the horrible news, but with the horrible news, love on your loved ones.
Yep.
Protect your mental health.
Yes.
Everything that you need to do positively as we go into the holiday season.
Dead ass.
I didn't even factor that in until I said it. Take off. Yeah. As we go into the holiday season, just do everything you can to make sure that you and your loved ones are good to go.
Exactly.
That's
protect your health, protect your family, pray for your, take it for granted, don't take it for granted.
No. But you can hit me on social media, on, you know, all the social medias when I'm there. Obviously with what's going down, I'm trying to stay away from, you know, just in general with those other things I was seeing throughout the week. It was just like, man, I may need to detach. Might be the perfect time. Raiders ain't doing shit. Lakers don't exist for another month and a half when I have to be forced to acknowledge them. Might be the perfect time to do it. Power's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Power's gone.
Power's gone. It might be a good time to release my line.
Oh, man. On that note, we out this bitch.
Peace.
Peace.
Rest in peace. Take off.
Take off.